This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity and acting like we know the Lord to truly living the faith. And we often do this best by learning from others, those who perhaps have faced more difficult challenges than our own and come out successful, victorious in Christ. We have one of those people with us. I title this program God's Miracle because Michael Titus from Tanzania truly has a story about God's working a miracle to bring him into salvation against great odds and persecution. So, Michael, yeah. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Coming all the way over the sea just for this radio program.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
really. You're here anyway, but I'm glad we were able to get you in the studio because you do have such an amazing story to help us find encouragement for our own lives.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Tanzania.
Yes.
And what is life like there? Is it different than America?
Yeah, big different.
How's it different?
Yeah, life of people. But also weather. Mm-hmm. In our country, it's very hot. But here I can see there's a good weather. I don't know. I have never been here at the time of winter time, but I can see the good weather.
Yeah. So did you – I imagine – I've not done a study on Tanzania, but I imagine there are more Muslims than Christians there. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, it seems statistics seems like – there is 54 Christians.
Okay.
And
so it's more Christians.
It's more Christians, but there are some areas whereby more than 90 are Muslims.
So, and you grew up in one of those areas?
Yes. Especially in Coast Region.
Okay.
Coast Region, we have almost 30 regions, but Coast Region is one of the region in Tanzania. So 99% is a Muslim in that
99%.
Area. Yes.
So your parents were Muslim. You grew up in a Muslim
yes.
home,
yeah.
worshiping the God of Allah of
yeah.
Islam.
Yeah.
So what was that like growing up in that environment?
It was good. It was good. I saw everything was good. Mm. But later, I knew that it was not good, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember when I was in that village. Actually, the village was a very small village and a poor village, and all of them they were Muslims. And actually, everyone was busy encouraging their kids to go to madrasa. We call madrasa like it's a school of Quran, and I was one of them. My mom, well, when I was very young. She took me to the Muslim school. Actually, for me it was like just part of life. It was part of life with other kids. In that area.
Did you, Michael, as you grew up, did you feel you knew about your eternity that you would be in heaven?
Actually, according to my religion, by that time I knew that the end of everything. I will be able to go to heaven. I was very young. I born again when I was 16. But so I was still young. So I knew that according the teaching of these people, my leaders, they assured me that I will go to heaven if God will be satisfied with my deeds.
Okay, so you sort of never really know because. Who can be sure your deeds are good enough?
Right? Yes. I cannot be sure, but they said I have to make sure I do a lot of good deeds so that the end, God may make a decision where can I go.
Yeah. So the point is, you were pretty comfortable. There's no reason to convert to Christianity. In fact, every reason not to, because if you convert, you're in big trouble, right?
Yes. it's true that in that area, Christianity was something which is... was like, if we know this is a Christian, actually we had very few Christians from Roman Catholic, but they were not good representative of Christianity. Mm. So for us, it was like defiling our land.
Yes. And somehow, at the young age of 16, your whole life was changed, and you came to believe in the God of the Bible, the Christian God. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was not easy. It was not easy. I remember one day, I mean, when I was 16, as I mentioned, I had a dream. Hmm. I had a dream. And when I was in the deep sleeping, total sleeping, I had the dream of many cars passing to the high road and full of people singing, "Hallelujah, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna," but with the great joy. It was not just the words. It was a great joy, and I realized when I was in the dream that this is what I need, you know. It was like, oh, I would love to be a part of this group of people, you know. And then I ran out to the road when I was in the dream. And when I was there, I met just one guy, and he told me, "What are you looking for?" I said, "I had many cars was passing here. There is any more cars?" The guy told me, all cars is finished, so no more cars. Mm-hmm. So I started to cry. I remember I was crying, and because I wanted to be a part of that joy. Mm-hmm. And actually, the end, I had one car coming, and then that car was full of people singing the same song. And then I stopped the car. They said, "Oh, come, be part of our journey, because we have only one chance, and do hurry because we are in a hurry." So then immediately I became one of that, journey. I became very happy to be able to join that group and singing with them with a great joy like that. Then I wake up.
Then you wake up, and now you already thought Christianity is no good.
Yes.
Did you know in a dream that stream of cars and all the happiness was tied to this belief in Christ?
Yes.
In the dream you knew.
Yes. After I wake up, there was many questions was coming to my heart. What is this? And many questions was coming. I didn't know who was asking me, but it was like small voice with great love in my heart was asking me some questions. And it was like a conversation. And it was not easy to know exactly if this is a Christianity, because I knew Christianity, it was like something bad to me, and the representative of Christianity in that village, they were not good, you know. So, but I said, okay, but if this is a kind of Christianity, I'd love to be part of this thing, because I don't want to miss this kind of joy. And Jesus was asking me questions, a lot of questions. I knew that it was Jesus after salvation. And he was asking me, "Do you know what does it mean?" You know. I said, "No." I said, "Okay. What happened if you could miss this good journey, like a good joy like this, a great joy like this?" Then I said, "Oh, I could become very, very sad to miss something like this." Mm. So then he asked me, "So you know what does it mean?" I say, "I'd like to know." Then he told me, "I need you."
Wow.
That was kind of questions and
this
answers.
Is God speaking directly to you.
Yes.
And from what you knew, you weren't seeking this. It just came to you in a dream, and then you're talking to God after you wake up.
Yeah.
This is why we've titled this program God's Miracle.
Yeah.
There's no missionary coming in, and we hear these stories all the time now throughout the Muslim world, the Middle East, Africa, around the world. Mm-hmm. Muslims coming to salvation because of a dream, because of a vision, because God comes to them. And you can't explain this with human strategy.
Exactly.
It's not as though people have done this. God has stepped in supernaturally, and he's calling people to himself. This is astounding.
Amen. Amen.
So go forward. What happened then? You're hearing this voice. You're pondering these things. You want something more.
Mm, it took 1 week. And then some people came to me. First of all, my parents, they were asking me questions. "It seems like you have changed. What happened to you?" I say, "No, I'm okay," because I was not able to be open. Especially my mom could become furious somehow.
Yeah.
And then after 1 week, about two guys came to me and say, "Brother, we heard the we saw people preaching to another village. It was about 6 miles from where I was living. Then I say, what are they doing? They are preaching about Jesus, you know. Uh-huh. They were mocking, telling me bad news.
Yes.
But for me, it was different.
You wanted to know.
Yes, it was a very good news for me, because for the whole week, those questions and conversations was coming with Jesus, and it was creating a great desire in my heart to make sure that I can meet these people in reality, you know. So then when they told me, I said, okay, where are they? I said, oh, that village. Another village. I said, okay, that will be great. For me, I felt in my heart that will be great. Then how can I go there? That was a great question and a difficult answer, you know. But I remember one Sunday, that day was Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, I sneaked myself from my parents, from my home, to go to that village by foot. Mm. It was very far, but for me, it was nothing, you know.
Very far. This is
6 miles.
6 miles.
Yes.
In rugged terrain.
Yeah.
You know, for us, we don't walk enough in this country, so... Okay. But yeah. You're a young man. You're leaving home, leaving your parents. Nobody knows you snuck away.
Yes.
Okay.
So I went. When I went there was 60 people who got saved from Muslim background.
60?
Yes.
Wow.
But all of them, they were above 50. Myself, I was 60 when I met pastor there.
They were 50 and you're 16.
Yes, I was 16.
You were the one young man.
Yeah. So when I went there, my pastor was asking me, do you need here? Mm. I said, I need you, Jesus. He said, who told you to come? I say, I'm here. I need to learn, you know. Then he said, oh, do you think we have something to give you? Because he came with some stuff to help people, because that village is very poor people.
Yes.
So he came with some food. He came with some clothes. So he thought maybe I heard about those things, and now I went there so that I can get the things. You know. Then I said, no, I need Jesus. Then he explained about the gospel. Mm. To me, and I understood. I realized that I am a sinner, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior with tears that day. And that day I cannot forget. It was the great day for me. Mm. Then during the evening, I make way back home by foot. But I was very happy singing, Hallelujah, Hosanna, Hallelujah, Hosanna, with my small New Testament from my pastor. So I went back home. When I went back home, in short, my parents became very, 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 sad and angry as well, especially after 1 month, after realizing that I become Christians.
This didn't just pass. It wasn't just a good idea. Your life was changing. You weren't going to let go.
Yeah. Hmm. They saw me, the way I changed. But yes. Then people told them, we saw you are always, because it was twice a week I used to go to that church.
Back, wow.
Yeah. By foot, going there and coming. It was Sunday and Wednesday for the teaching. Mm. So, and I was very happy. For me, that journey was nothing. Mm. And when my parents...
I love seeing a joy in your eyes.
Amen.
You who are listening, you're not here in the studio to see Michael, but the moment I met you, brother, is just this radiant joy.
Amen.
And that's God. I don't know about you. I can often see people and see the Lord in their faces. Now, there are substitutes that aren't real, and you can see someone who's happy because they had a good day or they got something to drink that has a little alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
But this is different. This is very different. And it's what you're talking about. Something changed in you that the Muslim faith didn't offer. And I'm not knocking Muslim people. I love them. I know a good number of Muslims. But what was different? What was it you found that wasn't in this other religion? We could talk about two religions, you know, comparative religions, Christianity and doctrine. But I want to ask you experientially, what was the difference?
Yeah, for me, when I was in that religion, I was trying to obey God. That's number one.
Yeah,
trying to obey God, but I was guilty every day. Guilty.
Guilty.
Always guilty, you know, because I was not able to do that.
And this is all the religions of the world say you've got to do this to please God, and you never know if you've done enough. Christ taught us something different than religion. He said, I've done it all for you.
Yes.
And just receive the gift.
Amen.
And the difference than what some people think who are listening, oh, it's just another way to believe. No, it's more than a belief.
Yeah.
When you receive the gift, it changes your life from inside out. God literally comes to live inside of you. You have a relationship with a God of the universe.
Exactly. That's what happened. You know, there is no change inside, but I was pursuing to be good, you know, and it was very difficult.
Yes.
And now when I come to Christ, it's something different, you know. When I receive Jesus, and Jesus has finished the work, and he became my everything, you know.
Wow.
And actually now I can depend on the finished work, you know, of the cross. And the grace of God for me is a huge thing. Mm. Everything I see is like, I don't feel guilty, but just joy, rejoicing in him. I mean, when sometime I'm passing through very difficult, and even when I was passing through those persecutions, for me, it was not like, I mean, feeling like, why? No, no, no. It was like Jesus was very close to me.
Yes.
Just, I mean, sharing his joy, I mean, his victory, you know.
Yeah.
It was like that, you know. And he was with me, like, as he said, I will not leave you. I'll forsake you.
See, this is what we long for in a Western world. We read about it in the Bible.
Yes.
These Christians who are so excited about knowing the Lord personally and experiencing the supernatural that they didn't even care if they were persecuted. They didn't care if they lost their homes, lost their reputation, so often lost their lives.
Yeah.
So tell us about this persecution you're starting to touch on. Now, your parents, after a month, said that something's going on. Our son, 16 years old, something has changed from within. It's not just a religion here. Something has changed in him.
Yes.
Keep going.
I mean, my mom and dad, they were always crying, especially my mom crying.
Mm.
Was not able even to talk. She was crying.
Because in that culture, if you become a Christian, you abandon the God Allah.
Yes.
You should be killed and certainly ostracized, driven away from the family.
Yeah.
They thought, this is our son, he's gone.
Yeah.
We will lose him forever. Is that right?
Yes. They were telling me, now you have brought shame to our family.
Yes, shame.
This is a great shame. You are my firstborn. And I was, expected a lot from you, but now you have denied us, you know. And that make them to be very, actually, they were not fair for me, doing a lot of things which is against me. And even I was just finished my primary school, and they say, we'll not take care for your schooling. And they refused even to continue support my education.
Mm.
It was very bad. And from there, after 1 month later, I saw like they were refusing me to go to church, doing all things, and they were just always blaming me, accusation upon me. And then I said, my parents, can you allow me just to go away to that village so that I can stay there?
Mm.
Then they said, no, who cares? You just go.
Mm.
No? We'll do whatever you can do. We don't care. I took my few clothes, and I went to
all you
that
had,
village.
A little bit of clothes you had in your back, and a few in your hands.
Yeah,
you left home.
No,
with nothing.
Not with nothing. Only my small New Testament.
Age of 16.
Yeah.
How many of us are willing? How many of us believe enough in this Christ that we'd be willing to leave everything to follow him? Please keep going. This is what I need to hear. Mike.
So then I went there and I found small room. It was my about third month of salvation.
Mm.
And when I was there, I mean, I rent very small room. And actually, it was not easy because now we had these people, 60. But after 1 month later, all of them, they backslided back to Muslim because of the opposition from Muslim. And the pastor was coming from about 10 miles from where I was living, to that church.
Mm.
He stopped to come.
So even the pastor stopped.
Yes, wow. Because now no one. It was like a great discouragement for him.
Oh, my.
So I remained myself. Where can I go? My parents, they say no to me. And I remained there. All of them, they were Muslim. And I remained myself there. I was a Christian.
Wow.
And now the whole village, they were against me. The whole village. I remember sometime I could just pass like this and they could spit to me. And sometime so, even mocking me.
So they spit on you, they mocked you.
Yes.
You left your home, now you're in a new village, it's all Muslims, and everyone's against you.
Yeah, everyone. And actually I had even no something to eat, no food.
Wow.
So I was not able to find a food. So I used to go to about... to here, we use kilometers, but I'm trying to convert into miles. It's about five miles to the bush to find firewood so that I can carry it and sell.
So you walk 5 miles, find firewood, and carry it 5 miles back to sell it to get a little bit of food.
So that I can get food. So, I mean, when I was passing through that, I remember, actually, it was not easy. One day, I had no food for a long time. I went to find firewood very early in the morning, but at one, when I came back, without eating, without anything, and it was very sunny, and I was so hungry, but no food, and no one came to buy my firewood, and I was there because of Jesus, not anything. Yes. I was able to eat very well at home, but now I'm away from home.
Yes, and so, did you ever get tempted, I could just go back home?
No, at all, because I knew my parents, they were so angry with me.
Unless you gave up your faith, but you weren't tempted to give it up.
Yeah, no.
If you abandoned, said, forget Jesus, I'm a Muslim again, they'll take you home in a minute.
They could just taking care for my education and taking care for my life.
Yes.
So... But for me, Jesus was more than everything, more than everything.
Wow!
So that day, I remember, I was not able to sell my firewood. So the third day came, I was really very hungry, very hungry, and actually, I was taking this green mangoes. There was a mango tree behind my room. So I was taking those mango trees, which is unripe, green ones, and I was just doing like this and eat for those 3 days, you know. But the third day, I was very hungry because now it's like that was nothing. I mean, then I went to my room and I started to cry before Jesus. I said, Jesus, you have called me in this wonderful experience, but now I'm passing through a lot of difficulty. Why? You have called me so that I can pass through this? And immediately I heard a small voice, like the voice which I was hearing the day when I had a conversation.
Yeah.
And he said, now, my son, don't worry, I'm with you. You are passing through these persecutions, but I have allowed you. Because I have a great task for you.
Wow.
This is a part of preparation. I'm preparing you. You are not alone. I'm with you. So don't quit. Stand firmly.
Now, there's a thought for all of us, because I believe for any of us, when we stand up for Jesus, we follow the inner voice of God.
Yeah.
In our, as Christians now, talking to the Christian.
Yes.
We say, I will obey you, Lord, even though this isn't what someone else maybe likes in my life. You obey, and it becomes difficult. And the tendency is to say, I must have missed God's voice. It's too difficult. And we turn back. But if we stop like you did and say, Lord, please help me understand.
Yeah.
We'll hear the same words probably.
Yeah.
That I'm in this. It's to prepare you for something greater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, it was, it was a good experience for me because no pastor who came to take care for me. But Jesus himself was taking care for me. The presence of Jesus was very close to me. And I was just very bold after that, oh, Jesus is with me. You know, he is my pastor. So I was very happy for that.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe to finish this, I mean, I'd like to say that then I went after that voice. Then in my heart, I said, I need to pray to Jesus for the food. Mm. I said, Jesus, now I'm very hungry. Can you provide food for me? I feel very hungry. Mm. Then after that, finishing with that prayer, when I was standing, somebody was knocking to my door. And I stand up and I open the door. When I opened the door, one lady was a nurse, like Nancy?
Nurse.
Yes, like a doctor. I mean, she came and said, brother, sorry. She's our neighbor. And she said, sorry, I have just got a call from her headquarter, which is very far, about 10 miles from where she is living, and say, so tomorrow, early in the morning, I am supposed to go there. So because I have prepared enough food so that tomorrow morning I can take it with my breakfast, now I cannot use for my breakfast. Because just now I got this call that I have to go there and to be there very early in the morning for the meeting. Hmm. So please, if you haven't started to cook, please, can I bring food here so
wow.
that you can use it?
Wow, what an answer to
prayer. Yeah, so then I said, oh, thank you very much. Then when she went, I started to cry with joy. That, oh, Jesus, now I know. It's true. You're with me, you know. Mm. I can experience it, you know. And it brought a great joy for me, great
wow.
joy.
Wow.
Though I was passing through those persecutions, but the great joy was in me. Mm. I was passing through that. More people, they were seeing it to my life, but myself, it was like somebody was carrying me to that situation. Mm. And Jesus was very close, very real to me. And I was really so encouraged by seeing his presence, his midst of his presence.
You're listening to Michael Titus. And while our time is running now, we are going to pick this up after the break.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear more of Michael's story. And it gets into not just persecutions, but the dramatic moves of God. We're going to learn some things through his eyes and his life story that can help us to do what I call spiritual battles here in our own worlds. Maybe you're facing areas where in your life where you just think you cannot get through. Hang on to hear the rest of this story, and I think you'll be greatly encouraged, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. To discover more about Beyond Words and the other ministries of Scripture Awakening, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com. While there, you can learn about our amazingly successful Bible reading program, B90, or Bible in 90 Days. You can review the extensive catalog of our versatile Bible study series titled Be Next. You can also download free podcasts from all Beyond Words programs. Check out B90, Be Next, and Beyond at scriptureawakening.com. Here once again is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We have with us our guest, Michael Titus from Tanzania. He has this incredible story. We've heard the first half. If you're just joining us, he's talked about how with no one human being that is speaking to him, he moved from a Muslim faith into one in which a person believes in Christ, but he personally has had dramatic experiences, first of all, of simple obedience and rejection by the world, his own family, everyone around him. He lived in an area that was 99% Muslim. Christians even abandoned him, but God took care of him.
Amen.
So, Michael, we continue now your story, and you're sharing how God provided food when you desperately needed it. It reminds me of in the Bible, more than one place, many places where people had, you know, I'll just give one, Elijah on Mount Carmel. He ran through the desert, had no food, and God sent ministry there. He sent the ravens to bring the food to him.
Amen.
And so over and over, Christ was in the desert following the Holy Spirit into a place where he almost died, and God sent angels to sustain him at the end.
Exactly.
God will take care of us when we obey, but it may be difficult.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine difficulties continued on for you. It wasn't always easy, right?
Yeah, it's true.
What happened next?
I mean, actually, as I said, this, I mean, made me to depend on Jesus fully. And I mean, as I was sharing, the persecution was not stopped.
It was increasing.
Okay. increasing. And then I was reading my New Testament. It was very difficult to get the Bible in our area. Mm. Yeah, to the unreached areas, people, it's very difficult. And so I had that, as I shared, the small Bible. It was just New Testament. And I read one scripture saying Jesus was going to the solitude, having morning prayers. Early in the morning was going to somewhere hidden place and pray. Mm. So then I said, oh, I'd love to start learning morning prayers. Mm. And my first story, you can see it was about how God called me in his kingdom. But now I want to share a little bit how God called me in ministry. Mm. So then when I was there, it was the night when I was going to bed, then I prayed, Jesus, can you wake me up early in the morning at 4 a.m. so that I can start to learn to pray morning prayers? And for me, everything was, Jesus was my best friend, and he's my best friend till today. Mm. I can see his grace in my life. Yeah. So I told him, then I slept. Immediately when I was in total sleeping, I heard the voice, because my bed was nearby, beside the window. Then I heard the voice, Michael. Then I wake up. Then I was looking, who is calling me? Mm. I went to the window, my window, but no one. Mm. Then I slept again. Then I heard the voice again, Michael, wake up and pray. This is was audible voice. Yes. Michael, wake up and pray. Then I wake up. When I say pray, I heard pray. I remember that I asked Jesus to wake me up at 4 a.m. I took my watch and see it was 4 a.m. o'clock.
Wow.
Then when I knew that Jesus calling me for prayer, immediately wonderful power of God came upon me. Mm. And that was the day of being baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And then Jesus talked to me and said, actually, my prayer was completely changed. I prayed for almost 2 hours until morning. I took my brush and my cup of water to go and brush my teeth. I was shaking like this. I was feeling wonderful. I had wonderful joy in my heart. I was so courageous than before, Then immediately, that day is the day God, spoke to me about going to house to those old people who backslided and bring them back. Remember, they were above.
Now, before we go on.
Yes.
You mentioned the word being baptized with the Spirit, and people can get caught up in arguments about, is there a second experience this now? But nobody argued with you.
Yeah.
You were just seeking God, obeying God, and you had an experience. We could put any words around it we want, but where God took such total control of your life.
Yes.
And he filled you with power.
Yeah.
Call it what we want. This is something we all need. No one wants to argue if I say, do you need, as a Christian, do you want more of God? Do you want him to have more of you? The answer should be, of course.
Yes.
And that's what you got.
Yes.
And this is what I think the second thing we learn from your life, God's miracle, is that nobody said, you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. It was so simple and real.
Yeah.
And everything changed at that point.
Yeah.
Because now God was even closer to you. He was working through you with power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I cannot differentiate it, but it was like God ordained me.
He ordained you.
I can say like that,
Yes.
Yeah, God was ordained me, for the ministry. And he spoke to me now to go to these people, all 60 people who were backslided. Mm. So
it's in a village you were in already, and there were these people who the Christians who were coming and all left, they couldn't take the persecution. You're going to go back to them.
Yes.
And say, come on.
Yes.
Follow Jesus. You know what's right.
Yes. So I went. So after 1 month later, 21 of them, came back.
Wow.
And actually, it was not easy for me to go to this 50, about 50 years old. But it was like Jeremiah when he was, saying, oh, how can I do it? You know, yes. I'm very young. And,
very young.
And it was the same for me. Jesus put words to my mouth and I was able to speak to these people.
Wow.
And now, who will disciple these people? And who will help them to go through this great persecution? Automatically, I became their pastor.
Amazing.
You know, in that village. You know, and because of our time, I can say this. I mean, that's the way God called me in the ministry. And from there, I started to go to reach more people. And those people, I mean, I remember I had a wonderful fellowship during the night to one of the members in that village. And that kind of worship and praise, it was really tremendous. It was wonderful because people, they were coming when they heard we were singing. When they were coming, they were delivered from power of darkness, from demons, sicknesses. And then after a short time, we turned that village upside down. And a lot of people came to Christ, but also the persecution increased mostly to those people, but also for me, because people, they were saying, this is the one who caused these things. And I remember one girl. One girl was used by the witch doctors,
yes,
during the night as the car to take them to go to do some witchcraft things to different areas. And that girl was 16 years old, but was not able to grow. Was like 6 years old.
Mm.
You know, was like this. I mean, we call
short.
Very short, you know.
Yeah, like a midget. Her body wasn't growing.
Yes,
because of what happened to her.
Yes. And wow. That day when we were singing, she came. When she came, immediately she was manifested. The demon soul was manifested. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was like fire. Bam! She went up and come down. Then immediately I said, in the name of Jesus, you evil spirit, go out in Jesus' name. Then immediately that girl was delivered from the power of demons. From that day we started to disciple this girl, and she gave us her testimony, but that she was used during the night. You know, and she didn't like, but she used by her grandmother, you know, and it was very difficult to come out from that. Mm. But from that day, she started to grow, even in her physical body.
Wow.
And then we disciple her, and she became Sunday school teacher for the kids in the church.
Wow.
And I wish I could meet her today. I mean, yeah. I don't know where she is, but she was growing healthily in inside, spiritually, but also even in her body.
Wow.
So God has been delivering many people. In our area, actually, witchcraft is the main thing. Mm. Many things, many people are...
Now let's stop here. A lot of people say, I don't believe in this witchcraft. That's just hocus pocus. And what that means is it's kind of magic. It's make-believe. It's not real.
Yeah.
But you're going to tell us something different, aren't you? And here's why it's important.
Yeah.
What we call witchcraft in parts of Africa, here in America, they might call it white magic. They use sometimes words like witch and warlock, or sometimes New Age movement, a lot of terms.
Yes.
Satanism has their witches. So people that don't believe in it over there probably don't believe in it over here. Help us understand. How do we know it's real? You just gave us one story, this young lady whose life was dramatically changed.
Yeah. I have experienced this many times. I don't know how I can explain well about this, but Jesus was very, very clear on this. I mean, was very clear on this. And actually, in Africa, it can be seen differently, I mean, from here.
Mm.
But actually, the same thing, witchcraft are existing.
Yes.
I mean, the spiritual warfare is something in reality. You
yes.
know, when we become, and actually when we become Christianity, Christians, we need to be aware of it. Otherwise, we can ignore something which is working among us. You know, I've been hearing in this area like Freemason.
Okay, Freemasonry. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Freemason is like, for me, it is working very highly in Africa as well.
Okay, so the Freemasonry is a big institution there.
Yes.
Even where you grew up, okay.
Actually, many young people, especially now,
right.
Many young people, they love to go to these things. Mm-hmm. But these people, they have some confessions, you know. And people, they don't care about that confessions. They think this is just something... Yeah, no, anything, you know, is happening.
In other words, it's just something we're going to do. We don't believe there's anything spiritual involved.
Yeah.
We just make these commitments, these vows.
Yeah.
We do these rituals, but it doesn't really affect my life. It's just social club, you know?
Yeah, you see. Uh-huh. But, you know, I have come to realize that these kind of confessions.
Yes.
Or vows.
Oaths. You make promises, yeah.
Yeah, those things is very dangerous in spiritual growth, even to be effective in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
You know, the devil is very clever. He's trying to use simple things, but the result is so big. And even if we are in Christianity, we cannot see good, healthy growth, even passion for Jesus. We cannot experience the presence of God clearly if we are mixed with these kind of things.
Yes.
And actually, we are just doing simple confessions, simple voice, but actually the result is more than what we see. It's like salvation. We do some confession. Mm. After belief, we do some confession that Jesus is the Lord. Mm. And we see like there's no anything is happening. But in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, there is a big thing is happening. Our positions are changing completely. And in everything, Jesus is, many things are happening in the spiritual realm when we are doing confession for Jesus Christ.
Tell me if this fits, Michael. And again, if you're listening, this may be freaking you out. You may say, I don't get this at all. But but just listen to this. And I'm speaking to Michael, but I want us all to think about this. As I have prayed for people's healings, often there will be a miracle, often not. But as I talk to people who know more than I do about this and see a lot of healing, the power of God working, often if someone's involved in, it could be Freemasonry, as you mentioned, it could be New Age practices, it could be something in the past tied to witchcraft. You maybe don't use the word witchcraft, but it's tied to dark powers. If there's involvement there, and when they confess that, and confess the name of Jesus and take authority and renounce any vows that were not in accordance with God's word, suddenly the power of God's released, and there's miraculous power.
Yes.
It may release and cause a healing.
Yeah.
These things are mysteries, but this is kind of what you're talking about?
Yes. I'm talking about that if there is a Christians who wants to be effective in the kingdom of God, and they've been involved in those things like New Age movement or Freemason, you call it?
Yeah, Freemason.
Yeah, those things and other things which involve those kind of stuff.
And there are hundreds of them.
Oh, you see?
In this culture, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to advise them. It's very important to renounce those kind of confessions,
vows,
make sure you renounce those things. Yeah, because actually you cannot be effective in the kingdom of God. And even in the end of everything, you will be not even bear fruit, and then even to be, to go far from God. That will be the result.
Let me ask this, Michael, and I think this is really important for all of us.
Yeah.
The general Christian, I think, from my experience in this country, feels that we can't hear God's voice.
Yeah.
Now, we may not hear it audibly as you did, like Samuel did in the Old Testament.
Yes.
You know, Samuel heard God calling his name, and he went to Eli at first, like you did. It's like, that wasn't God. What do you want? You know, and finally he figured, that was God speaking to me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not audible, but it can be heard.
Yeah.
And if we're not hearing God's voice, probably there's something blocking.
Yeah.
And further, when you hear and you obey and you get persecuted and God protects and then provides and begins doing miraculous things, that power of God may not be experienced if there are little things. These are little things.
Yes.
But they're big because it's kind of like if I take a pine needle and I hold it close to my eye, it can block out stars that are 100 times the size of the sun. I can't see them anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems little, that pine needle, but when it's held close to my heart, close to the eyes of my heart, it blocks the power of God. The everything is blocked away, and I'm not being able to live the life I'm called to live.
Yeah,
does that sound right?
Yes, I mean You know, God speaks. And God works. God works every time.
He works every time.
And he's working even now. He speaks even now. And actually, we most of us, we are not aware with what God, what God's saying. We are not aware. And sometimes it is because we don't have we don't have knowledge about voice of God. But sometimes even if we know about how God speaks and how we can hear from Him, there is blocks. A lot of things can make us not to be able to hear the voice. Jesus said, "In simply, my sheep will hear my voice." So if we are sheep, we need to hear His voice. And if we are not hearing His voice, it means there is something wrong. God speaks always with His people.
This is what I'm getting to. A lot of people don't believe that God is speaking and we can hear Him all the time.
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe because I'm learning about this. Yeah. And I learn when I let fear and things get in the way, I stop hearing.
Yeah.
And I can repent and say, God, I give you 100%.
Yes.
And if He shows me something in my life that's not of Him, I need to cut it away.
Yes, exactly. Then to start
you have that joy, that power, you know you're in His will and you don't care about the rest.
Also we need to give time, to have time with Him.
Yes, you know, we need to have time.
Yes. Sometimes when we go for prayer, we are just praying, speaking to Him. Then we stand up and go.
But we need
time to listen.
Yes.
God cannot speak if we are not listening.
If you have a good friend, maybe it's a spouse, someone you love, you don't have a relationship that's growing if you're not spending time.
Yeah.
And it means quality time.
Yeah.
It means time to listen.
Exactly.
Time to look in that person's eyes and to know their heart.
Yeah.
And how can we say we're following Christ if we don't spend time like that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. So now share another example, whatever you want, but tell more of your story to help us understand this is for real. This is real stuff.
I mean, about hearing voice?
Or maybe about the general growing of your ministry, because I think you helped plant, 25 churches?
Yes. I mean, by the grace of God, then I was able to go to different villages to plant churches. I remember I cannot forget to name my pastor, called Samuel Mena, has been a really blessing in my life. He was able, after hearing, I have those two, 25 people in that small village. He heard about me and he called me and say, now I am ready to coach you and even to mentor you so that you can become more fruitful and, in the kingdom of God. So he is a great guy. He's my hero, you know, I'm so grateful for him. And so from there, I started to go to unreached areas to plant churches. Wow. By the grace of God, God gave us 25 churches in the different village. And actually, I have a lot of story about how it happens and how people delivered from sicknesses, from power of darkness and different things, but also even from poverty. God has been opening the understanding of these Muslim people who came to Christ, and they saw some opportunities which they have never seen, some resources around them which they can use for their development of the even economy, normal economy. So God works. God works in different ways. And we have seen a lot of things. And actually, about 4 years ago, I had more than 100 church planters together. I mean, just encouraging them from that movement which I've been planting churches, the place where I was planting churches, and encourage them to go to plant more churches. So now there is a big church planting movement is happening in that area. We are praising God for that. Really, we are so grateful for that. And from that day, I mean, it's almost now 4 years. God called me full time to reach unreached young people and equip them to reach others. It is because of my story. I saw many young people in unreached areas. They are abandoned. I mean, they're passing through a lot of persecution and difficulties. So now I'm encouraging them how to go to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I'm so grateful. And we need your prayers. Pray for us, because there are many young people who are passing through those persecutions. Mm. They don't have anything to eat. They don't have somewhere to live, I mean, to stay. So they are passing through a lot of difficulty. Wow. So, and now we are doing that ministry, but really we need more prayers. And if God will speak to you guys, just to be a part of what God is doing in Tanzania, you're welcome.
If somebody wants to learn more, how do they go forward with that? Is there a website you have up or a way they can be supportive?
Yeah, I mean...
Or they could contact me.
Yes, they can contact you. Yeah, they can contact you and then you can reach me.
Okay, yeah. One could just call the radio station here. I'm broadcasting from WHKP, 828-693-WHKP, which is 9457.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And do you have an email address?
Yes, my email is Michael.
Michael.
Dot J Life.
Michael dot J Life.
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Yes. Michael dot J Life at gmail.com.
Yes.
If someone wants to contact you to support more, to learn more. Let's close out here with maybe one other story. I know you've got hundreds. You could talk for hours.
Yeah.
But as you've been planning these churches, tell us one brief story in just a couple minutes of how God has stepped in and done a miracle.
Yeah. I mean, I really remember one time when we went to plant church, one of the village, and actually we had one guy who got saved. Called Daniel now. He was imam. Mm. He was imam of Muslim. And this guy was very young, 23 years old. And, he got saved in a wonderful way. Mm. It's a long story, but he got saved. And the family, they took his wife away, was pregnant, and everything. Mm. Then I was taking care for him. But then I said, I need to go back to your village so that you can plant church there. So I took my team, we went there. But we didn't know that all villages, they were preparing to come against us. Mm. So when we went there, we were preparing to do ministry. All village came against us with the mom of that guy, Daniel.
Yes.
And they came with a stick. And they started to beat us. I remember that day. But they beat us and beat us. We were showing love and joy. And the end, they went away. But when they went away, that mom lost the key, because when he went home, she was not able to open her doors.
She lost the key to her house.
She was busy beating you.
She lost.
So
her
then
key.
She came back slowly. Just with the shame. But when we saw her, we went to her. Say, "Mom, what do you want?" She said with shame, "I lost my key." I said, "No, we can go together with you and find the key." So we started with my team to be after that key together. So she experienced that love. And actually, in short, they experienced the love, the whole village that day. And because she went to tell them that these people, they helped me to find my key. Huh. So from that day, some people, they were coming in hiding place to be saved. You know, and in that village, we have a church now, and that guy, Daniel, is the pastor of that church.
Wow.
And now he's about three churches in that area. So he's doing great.
And his wife came back to him?
No.
She did not?
Today. Actually, 3 weeks ago, before I came here, he came to me and say, "I have got a girl," because the parents, they say, we don't need to allow our... And so he got another one. And now he's preparing to get married.
Wow.
So...
Wow.
Yeah, that's a...
Through many persecutions,
yes.
we come into the kingdom and advance it.
Yeah.
Paraphrase of Paul's words. Well, your life has illustrated that and so much joy. And we thank you, Michael, for being with us here on Beyond Words Radio, helping us to get beyond just the words, to live the life. You've inspired us, and we thank God for you, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, too, for giving me this opportunity.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.